9 o'clock, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Do you throw the football around on Thanksgiving Day? Do you even own a football? I'd like to hear from you. We had Robert who texted in about his Lions and about the tradition of them having, you know, the Thanksgiving Day game. Look, Robert, I'm not trying to be mean. I've got a family friend that he's a diehard Lions fan. He's also a little bit like you, Buckeye Boy. He's a very pessimistic Lions fan.
Yeah. Well, what's there to be optimistic about?
And so he would probably be the first to say, yeah, if the Lions lost their Thanksgiving Day game, that probably served them right.
If you absolutely demand you must have it, then you have to play the worst team from the previous year every year.
I like the idea of, and they don't have to play against each other necessarily, but the two teams that play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. No, don't play them against each other, but they get to host each.
Yeah, get to host a Thanksgiving Day game. I'm not trying to be mean about it.
And then you can watch your Lions lose on Sunday.
Yeah. I just think because I saw the crawl, was it the other day? I think it was when I was watching Red Zone, about, you know, get your tickets for the Lions Thanksgiving Day game. And I'm like,
why?
I'm okay. I mean, would it be cool to go to a Thanksgiving Day game? Yeah, it'd be kind of fun to do it one time, sure. I just don't think I want to watch the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. No offense to them. Let's see, we got one from Chance. No, that's not the one I want to look at. I'm trying to find the one I was looking for here. Okay, this one is from Chance. You bet I own a football, Jim. Got a Duke last year, and it's nice to have around. My older cousins have finally retired from the Turkey Bowl, so I'll be the large man of the field stiff-arming the children this year, and I can't wait. Have a great holiday, dudes. You too, Chance.
Yeah, you too. You go get them. You wreck those kids. Show them who's boss.
You know, that's when you sit back the next year, getting ready to play the big Thanksgiving Day game. You know, you go Ed Bundy.
Mm-hmm.
I had 5 touchdowns in that game last year. 5. 5 touchdowns.
You put on the skateboarding elbow pads. Just give a little bit more LeBron to him.
Just a little bit. You know? Boom. Back off, 8-year-old.
Yep. You're Derrick Henry. They're Josh Norman. You send that kid flying into that pile of leaves.
It's great. We got one from Dylan today. Usually play a family football game on Thanksgiving that ends up turning into tackle football most times. Usually that's the case. Get the New York Giants off of primetime games. They're a garbage product. Let's see, from Matt Montrose. By rule, there's legal and illegal contact. Basketball rules assume contact. There's going to be contact. I mean, sorry, that's just how basketball is played. Now, when we go back to the Pistons and the Bad Boys, you know, was that thuggery more than anything else with Mulhern and those guys? Yeah, pretty much. And that's not great basketball. That's not enjoyable basketball. I don't enjoy that. But fighting for position in the low post, that and the contact that's involved there, that's part of playing basketball. That's just the way it is, regardless of what level you play. But Robert, you're right about being able to go out and just, you know, shoot some hoops. You know, go out to the local playground, fire up some hoops. I mean, that's, and you, there's no contact there because there's nobody guarding you, and you're just out there shooting the basketball, which is a really good thing to do. Get outside, get some air, get some exercise.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make that one-on-none a beautiful game. It's kind of sad.
It's you're working on some skills, maybe. Or just out there entertaining yourself, getting some exercise. There's nothing wrong with that. The Maverick women's basketball team, they're on the road to Utah Valley. And just got a text back from crack SID Dave Yonke. Said that Taylor thought his cell coverage would be good. But But it may not be. So perhaps we'll have Taylor on this morning, but we will have Trevor Baskin on from the Colorado Mesa men's basketball team, coming off a double-double this last weekend up at the Western Colorado Comfort Inn tournament up there, as both Maverick basketball teams are at home this weekend. Nothing like a little Thanksgiving dinner on Friday, maybe a little Black Friday shopping, maybe a little local shopping on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But you can check out the Mavericks on Friday and Saturday at the Holiday Inn Airport Thanksgiving Classic. We'll have coverage of the men and women both nights right here on the Team CMU Sports Network.
If you're doing Black Friday shopping, couple tips and pointers that I've learned. Practice your parking this week, because not everybody's good at it. And get your LeBron elbows ready, because you're going to need them. Because there's going to be people that try to, one, get in your space and jump your line wherever you're at. You're waiting for the TV or whatever. Get them LeBron elbows ready. Start clearing out with a rebound. Grab something off a shelf and just kind of spin around, put it in your cart, clear your space. Yep. Don't be afraid of other people's blood, as long as you caused it, if you're Black Friday shopping. Just, you know, get your elbows wide.
Do you typically go shop on Black Friday?
I used to, but then I got to a point to where I couldn't keep my volume low enough, and so now I don't.
Okay. It's a good move on your part. I think maybe once. I know Kenda went one time. I think she went to like the early, might have been the mall or Walmart. I don't remember which one. And she got up like at 4:30 or whatever and went. And she came home and she goes, I will never, ever do that again. I will, if I have to pay more, I'll pay more. I am not going to do that ever, ever again. And she was true to her word. That was the last time she ever went shopping on Black Friday.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot I've realized that is on Black Friday sales that I need, or that anybody I'm getting presents for needs.
Right.
So, you know, that, and I can kind of be relentless about criticizing other people's abilities to get out of my way. So,
look, 55-inch TV for $150. Okay, that's great for somebody. That's great. If they want to stand in line and do that.
That's fantastic. Good for you.
You go knock yourselves out, man. Enjoy. I'm just not going to sign up for that. I'm not going to get up at 4:00 in the morning. Nope. to go and stand in line to save money on a TV.
My TV's fine.
Yeah, it's good. And if I want a TV, I'm just going to go buy a TV during normal business hours.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Because the TVs that are on sale for a reason. It's because there's plenty of them.
Clearing them out.
If they're not in demand, are they worth having? You know? I got this TV for $11. You got like almost a third of the pixels are dead. And you only had it 5 months. That's killer shopping, bro.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds great, right? Like a lot of things on Black Friday. Mm-hmm. The deal sound, oh, wow, that'd be great. Yeah. And then you realize, okay, it's not that great after all, because all the hassle and parking, well, getting up early, number one, getting up insanely early to go in and get whatever TV, video, you know, game system, whatever that you're trying to buy and get it, you know, this supposedly unbelievable deal. You find out that all those things, the early hours, the fighting with people to get in line, parking, all that
stuff. It erases the savings.
Just does not add up to being worth the time doing it. All right, we got Robert, who's continuing to vehemently defend his Lions having the Thanksgiving Day game. Thanksgiving is traditional. A Lions game is traditional. The three of us have never seen a Thanksgiving without a Lions game. I'm okay with that.
I would love that no longer be true.
I'm perfectly fine with that. What the team is suggesting is equal to first contact with alien life. Have a grand day. So this is like meeting E.T.?
This thing of weed.
What are you trying to say there? What are you trying to imply?
I'm nothing. I said what I said.
Okay. So while we have a moment here, because I don't know if we're going to be able to get Taylor or not, we'll keep efforting. Why do the Lions play on Thanksgiving? Here's the story, boys and girls. About
there's some corruption involved.
The
somewhere.
Detroit Lions hosting Thanksgiving Day games. Started 1934. when then-owner George A. Richards decided to play on the holiday to attract more fans. That's a smart move on his part. You know, Thursday, eat. Not much going on. Hey, let's go watch a football game. That's a great idea. And so it was a big hit. Maybe one of the best things the Lions have ever done in the history of their franchise. The Lions, you know, they weren't attracting much of a crowd at the time.
It's kind of sad when one of the best things is, let's play on Thursday.
Let's play on a Thursday.
Brilliant.
And they did it to, you know, to try to counteract the Detroit Tigers, who were the city's main sports attraction. But, you know, by that time, obviously, baseball season was over. So they kind of had, they had it to themselves.
They showed those Tigers.
That's right. But on Thanksgiving, the Lions, who did not draw particularly well against the Tigers, they sold out the stadium. They actually had to turn people away. Then the Lions lost to the Bears, and a new tradition was born. Other teams had played on Thanksgiving before 1934, but the Lions were different because Richards, he owned a radio station. He was an R-racket. That was a major affiliate of the NBC Blue Network. Richards negotiated an agreement with NBC to broadcast his Thanksgiving games on 94 stations across the country. Once again, George A. Richards, pretty savvy guy. And since 1978, the Lions and Cowboys have hosted a game on Thanksgiving every year. Detroit always plays on Thanksgiving and play the early game, followed by Dallas in the late afternoon, and then the rotating primetime matchup that came around in 2006. So that's how it all got started.
It doesn't have anything to do with family or tradition or any of this. It's all about money.
It was the Lions. Okay. Their owner was a smart guy that said, hey, let's play on Thanksgiving. It's a standalone day. We'll draw a big crowd. He was right about that. He also parlayed that into essentially a national radio contract. Pretty smart, pretty savvy.
It sounds a lot like Lions fans are, hey, this is our money type thing, instead of it's a tradition for us to have this.
By the way, the Lions, 37-42-2 playing on Thanksgiving Day.
Ah, shuck.
And so the Cowboys, like we referenced, they also play on Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be fine with the Cowboys not playing every Thanksgiving. I think anybody should have that territory carved out as theirs. I just don't. Cowboys, I mean, come on. Let's be honest. Why did they put the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day? Because the Lions really sucked. And the Cowboys were really good. At the time,
especially
that they,
in the 70s.
At the time, they decided to move them to Thanksgiving Day because they had to have the yin and the yang. They had to have the good, you know, America's team against the team, the long-suffering Detroit Lions. And so,
we had to have the Lions are here, but we need a game to watch. So they put the Cowboys on.
So there you go.
Then when both teams were sucking in the mid-2000s, they put a third game.
All right, 9:14. We will talk with Trevor Baskin of the CMU men's basketball team coming up in just a little bit. I did find this kind of cool that the Mothership put this out. They had their power rankings for this week, but they also put most memorable Thanksgiving Day game for everybody in here. And so we'll go ahead and look at the ones for us. For your favorite team, the Browns, and mine, the Broncos. Let's see. Got to scroll through the power rankings here because neither one of us are particularly high. For your team, by the way, the Browns have never won on Thanksgiving Day.
That's my Browns.
And they haven't. You haven't played on Thanksgiving since 89. I did not realize that. Wow.
Well, if you're not good, you shouldn't play on that day.
Well, but then we go back to the Lions. We circle back to that.
That's true.
That Thanksgiving, the Browns gave up 145 rushing yards to a rookie running back, some dude named Barry Sanders. And even with that, they had a chance to tie the game late, missed a field goal. That is so your Browns.
Very Brownsian.
But your team still bounced back to win the division, win a playoff game, and you got to the AFC Championship game for the third time in four seasons. So there was some good that came out of it. It was okay. Didn't win that day, but, man, 89.
Yep.
It's a long, long time
Bernie,
ago.
Bernie, who's in the new Baker commercial.
That's true.
So.
Let's see, for the Broncos, it was, they beat the Cowboys in overtime 24-21 on in 2005. That was the Ron Dayne game when Ron Dayne played for the Broncos. People forget about that. He didn't know he was going to get, you know, much time in the game until that morning when Broncos running back Tatum Taco Bell was a late scratch due to a chest injury. Dayne had carried the ball just 13 times that season before he rushed for 98 yards against the Cowboys, 55 of them on the second play of overtime that set up Jason Elam's 24-yard winning field goal. The Broncos improved to 9-2, and they went on to win the AFC West at 13-3. So, been a while for the Broncos, 05, but not nearly, or should say, the most memorable game was 05, but a few more good memories. I remember one year they played Detroit and Steve Watson made this insane catch along the sidelines, like when I was in high school. But I mean, I just said, I can't believe 89 was the last time your team played.
It's been a while. I haven't, in recent memory, seen them play many primetime games.
All right, 9:17. We were hoping to talk with Taylor Wagner, but they're traveling to Utah Valley, and it sounds like the cell situation is not working out. Maybe we'll be able to get him on with us tomorrow on the program. But I do want to mention that for Colorado Mesa, the volleyball team, they received the third seed for the upcoming South Central Region Tournament. The Mavericks move from fourth to third, and they'll play the University of Texas Tyler in Denver on December 2nd at Metro State. 19-3 Tyler is in just their third year as a D2 program. The Mavericks are 21-6. They moved to third after battling the Colorado School of Mines to five sets in the RMAC tournament semis. The Ordiggers, they beat Metro State in the championship. They're the second seed behind the Roadrunners. CSU Pueblo will face Metro State in their opening match. But congratulations to Dave Fleming and the Maverick volleyball team on making the South Central Region Tournament. All right, 9:17, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. We'll take a break and we'll come back. We'll have Colorado Mesa basketball player Taylor Baskin. Or excuse me, not Taylor Baskin.
Trevor.
Trevor Baskin, thank you. Trevor Baskin, thank you for that quick grab, Buckeye Boy. Trevor Baskin will be joining us next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
It's a good show.
Probably the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, The Team. Talking Colorado Mesa sports on Mav Day on the Jim Davis Show.
Welcome back. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. So your thoughts on, do you play a football game on Thanksgiving Day? Do you throw the football around a little bit? Love to hear from you on that. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. And we still have, the Anapasta Salad from Junction Square Pizza?
Yep.
And Qdoba, correct? Yep. So that is still up for grabs. So
both are.
Make sure you get your text in today. And just a quick reminder, by the way, that we will be off on Thursday for Thanksgiving and off on Friday as well for Black Friday. And then you're gone Monday, correct?
Yes.
So Cake will be in here with me on Monday for that show. All right. Joining us right now, he has had a outstanding start to the season, coming off a double-double last weekend up in Gunnison at the Comfort Inn Classic for one of the guys that's been one of the young stars of this basketball team for Colorado Mesa. Trevor Baskin joins us this morning on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Trevor, appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on the game that you had this past weekend up at the Comfort Inn Classic in Gunnison, taking on Southwest New Mexico. You put together a double-double, 18 points, 10 rebounds in that game. 18 points, excuse me, 13 rebounds in that game. Solid performance. Your basketball team went up there and played really well in those games up in Gunnison.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, our team was happy with the way we played, came out with great intensity. And really, it all started on the defensive end. We knew that if we played great team defense, they would have a hard time scoring on us. And in both games, really, we really focused on the defensive end, and then the offensive end just went off of what our defense was doing. Gave us a lot of good looks in transition, which really opened us up.
Mavericks 4-3 right now. Trevor Baskin of the CMU men's basketball team with us on the Team Sports Network. And look, it, you got some little bit easier competition at that Comfort Inn Classic as opposed to how you guys started out the season. The D2 CCA tip-off Classic, you had number 3 West Texas A&M, when, of course, you guys were ranked, I believe, at number 4 at that time. A tough test in Damon College as well during that stretch, along with 19th-ranked Dallas Baptist, St. Edwards as well. I mean, you faced some really good regional competition during that stretch with the D2 Conference Challenge and also the Tip-Off Classic.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that was probably, Coach was saying, we probably have the toughest start to a Division II season in the country. I mean, every team we played was very capable, favorites to win their conference, and it was really good for us, though, because we learned a lot about ourselves. We learned what we needed to work on, where we need to get better, and it was really just a good like benchmark to start our season off. Even though the outcomes didn't come the way we wanted, we learned a bunch about ourselves. And I mean, West Texas was in the national championship game last year, and when we give ourselves opportunities to win that game, it's nice to know that we're obviously still up there and capable of competing at the highest level.
Redshirt freshman from Pomona High School, Trevor Baskin from the CMU men's basketball team with us on the Team Sports Network. Where do you feel like you've made improvement strides from last year, Trevor? Of course, last year played in all 23 games. You averaged just under 5 points per game, a little over 3 rebounds per contest. Did a nice job, averaging about a block per game, helping out on the defensive end. But where do you feel like you've made some of your biggest improvements from last year to this season?
I would say genuinely my all-around game. I focused a lot on my shooting. Being able to take people off the dribble, footwork in the post was a big deal because I knew that if I was gonna have some people that would always be outweigh me and be just as tall as me, but I would have speed, and I always need good footwork for that. Worked on ball handling, worked on rebound, worked on my strength. I mean, genuinely, every part of my facet of my game I worked on and tried to improve, but definitely my finishing, footwork, and shooting were key points and stuff.
Trevor Baskin joining us today, currently third in scoring and rebound for the Mavericks at 11.4 points per game and 5.4 rebounds per contest. And with Ethan Menzie lost of the season due to the knee injury, I know that the Mac Reneker's kind of picked up, a lot of the minutes at that spot that Ethan had at the post. But certainly you also are asked to do more to contribute inside both offensively and defensively, because that's a big loss when you lose a player like Ethan Menzies.
Yeah, I mean, when you lose an All-American a couple weeks before the season starts, you're obviously going to have some growing pains trying to figure out who's going to try to play his position, guard who he guarded. But our team is talented enough to where we don't have to put a lot of pressure. We don't have to replace Ethan. We have enough talent to, we knew our roles would increase just a little bit with the falling of Ethan. So really it was just knowing we had a little bit more extra responsibility on each end of the court. I mean, Mac did a fantastic job of guarding some of the big men that Ethan would typically guard. The kid from Damon, who was averaging 27 and scored more than 2,000 points, Mac basically shut him down. So, I mean, everyone's stepped up to the challenge of trying to help pick up the slack to where Ethan would carry it. So, yeah, everyone's done a good job of trying to help out.
Trevor Baskin of the CMU men's basketball team with us today on the Team Sports Network. Mavericks, of course, won the RMAC regular season title last year and won the RMAC tournament title. Unfortunately, lost to Northwest Nazarene in regional play over at the Colorado School of Mines. But, I mean, at one point, your team was the number one team in the nation in the D2 basketball poll. A lot of things to build off of from last year, Trevor, and certainly the bar has been set very high for this basketball team in this 2021-2022 season.
Oh, definitely. I mean, our expectations are through the roof. We want to compete at the highest level and obviously being recognized that we're ranked number one was good, but we'd rather be ranked number one at the very end of the season with the national championship. But everyone knows what we're capable of on our team. We all have the same goals in mind. and we know we're capable of reaching those goals, we shall have to work well together and give it our all.
I know last year's loss to Northwest Nazarene was disappointing. I was there to call it. They just they shot lights out. They just they had a great offensive night, especially from the perimeter. And I know that's a game that's got to be, you know, sticking in your craw, the rest of your teammates' craw. I mean, you guys are, you know, pretty much everybody's back from last year. And, you know, it's not something you probably spend every day thinking about or talking about, but certainly that gives you a lot of motivation to get back to that opportunity once again in regional play to move on and like you said, maybe a chance to win a Division II championship.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that game, it really lingered with us for a while in the preseason last spring, especially in this over the summer. A lot of us, what we were thinking about when we were lifting, working on our game, we said, we knew we dropped the ball in the regional tournament. We knew we should have beaten them. We didn't play to the best of our abilities by any means. And we just know that we have to play our best game almost every game, or just play it as hard as we could, because I don't think we did either against Northwest Nazarene. So we know we have to do that every game if we want to win, because every team we play will have the capability and the players and the skill to beat us. So, yeah.
Trevor Baskin joining us today on the Team Sports Network. And, you know, I think people still forget how young this team is. You're a redshirt freshman. Christopher Speller's a redshirt freshman. Blaze Threat, who's got off to a really good start, redshirt freshman. Reese Johnson, redshirt freshman. Mac Reniker, who we've talked about, redshirt freshman. I mean, this is still a really, really young basketball team because of the COVID year and getting that extra year of eligibility.
Yeah, I mean, we got the same thing with Owen Koontz and Isaac Jessup, who were the transfers from CU. We grew up all throughout high school playing with them, so they're the same age as us. We have two more freshmen. And then when we get Sam Goulet and Nick McCurry off of injury, they're coming back. They're looking really good. I mean, with the exception of Georgie and Jared, we have like 13 players that are technical freshmen right now, either redshirt or true, or I guess redshirt and COVID year freshmen. I mean, we have a lot of talent, a lot of young talent still, so it's exciting.
Trevor Baskin of the CMU men's basketball team with us on the Team Sports Network. Last year, as the season went along, few people were able to come in and watch basketball last year during the COVID year. How excited are you and your teammates to get to play in this Thanksgiving Classic, be at home at Brownson Arena, and have the herd out there and have the Mav faithful out there this weekend? This has got to be something you guys are really pumped about.
I cannot wait, and I know the guys can't wait. I mean, we haven't played in front of a crowd in probably since my last game of my senior year of high school in 2019 or in 2020. So it's been well over a year, and for some people, it's been. I mean, same time was when they won the RMAC tournament in 2020 as well. It's been a long time since we played in front of a crowd. And my dad always tells me how fun it is to play in front of the Maverick faithful and play in Bronson. He says it's great energy and obviously get a good crowd. So I cannot wait till Friday and Saturday. I'm very excited.
I imagine your dad, of course, was a Maverick great. Mom and dad are going to be over to watch you play this weekend, right?
They are. They're coming up for Thanksgiving. Going to have Thanksgiving with them, and then they're going to come watch a couple games. So they're really excited for this week.
Well, excited to be out there once again. I was over at your game, of course, when you lost, unfortunately, to Northwest Nazarene. It was just such a weird experience with nobody there, and it's going to be great to have fans back at Brownson Arena this weekend for the Holiday Inn Airport Thanksgiving Classic. Hey, Trevor, I appreciate the time. A sensational start to your season, and lots of basketball left to play, and I know you're looking forward to at least starting with this weekend at home with the Thanksgiving Classic. Appreciate it, Trevor. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. Trevor Baskin, coach, or actually, excuse me, his dad, John, great player at Mesa back in the day. And Trevor, of course, is off to a great start, as we mentioned, the third leading scorer for the Mavericks and also their third leading rebounder right now. But Blaze Threat, he's off to a sensational start as well for the Mavericks. We still hope to maybe try to track down Taylor Wagner. I don't think that's probably going to happen today. But we will talk with the notorious MDG, Mike DeGeorge, Trevor Baskin's coach, coming up in just a moment. a few minutes. All right, let's get to this day in sports history. 1947, Sammy Baugh throws 6 touchdown passes. The Washington Redskins beat the St. Louis Cardinals 45-21. Also 1958, Bobby Mitchell of the Cleveland Browns returns a punt and a kickoff for touchdowns and a 28-14 win over Philadelphia. 1968, Houston scores 49 points in the fourth quarter to complete the route of an injury-riddled, flu-stricken Tulsa Hurricanes team. They win 100-6. Yeah. 1975, Minnesota's Fran Tarkenton becomes the all-time completions leader in the NFL. He completes his 2,840th pass in the Vikings' 28-13 win over the San Diego Chargers. 1984, Doug Flutie passes for 472 and leads Boston College to a 47-45 upset win over Miami with a last-second touchdown throw to Jared Phelan. I remember watching that game.
Mm-hmm. I didn't watch it live, but I know the play.
I actually watched it live back in the day in the living room out in the house in Appleton. 1991, Desmond Howard returns a punt against rival number 18, Ohio State, for a touchdown, celebrating with a Heisman pose and route to number 3, Michigan's biggest win of the Buckeyes in almost 50 years. The Wolverines win 31-3. Sorry, buddy.
Why you got to put that into the atmosphere right now?
Sorry. That's this day in sports history. We'll take a break. We'll come back. You going to be okay over there?
Just for all of our Michigan fans out there, 3,643 days.
Good rebuttal.
That's all I got.
Mike DeGeorge, CMU men's basketball coach, joins us next on the Jim Davis Show.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, The Team.
Touchdown every morning.
Woo! The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, The Team. Talking Colorado Mesa men's hoops with Mavs coach Mike DeGeorge on The Team. No, notorious.
.938 with us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. He's the coach of the CMU men's basketball team, Mike DeGeorge. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Doing well, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Happy almost Thanksgiving, by the way.
Yeah, you too. It's coming fast here.
Well, and we can also celebrate the return of basketball at Brownson Arena. Fans in the stands this weekend for the Holiday Inn Airport Thanksgiving tip-off classic. We were talking with Trevor Baskin from your team a little while ago, and Trevor says, you know, it's been a couple of years now since he's actually played in front of what you call normal crowds, and so I know your basketball team has to be excited about getting home, opening up the home slate, and playing in front of fans.
Yeah, for sure. And a group so young, most of them don't know what the experience is like to play in front of a great community support that hopefully we'll have this weekend, which we, you know, historically have had here. So I think everybody's really excited to have that full experience.
Your team 4-3 right now, and we did talk when you had that really challenging start with some of the outstanding teams you played open up the season with the D2 CCA Tip-Off Classic in Texas. Then you had the D2 Conference Challenge playing really good teams like West Texas A&M to start things out, Dallas Baptist, those two nationally ranked. Of course, your team nationally ranked at that time as well. But got a little more, I guess, a little easier, shorter trip going up to Gunnison. But also a little different competition with the Comfort Inn Classic, the win against Washington Adventist University, and then University of the Southwest, where really you took care of both those teams rather easily this last weekend up in Gunnison.
Yeah, it was great for – we kind of jumped on both teams and were able to separate. And, you know, my job would be a lot easier if they were all like that. So it was a fun weekend for us. And, you know, we are you know, the team really played well, and it's a good opportunity for us to just explore some different lineups and give some guys some extra minutes and start to find how this team needs to play, which, you know, the stress of those first 5 games, every basket was challenged, every, you know, possession was so meaningful. You know, this we can have a little different feel for us. I think it was good for the team.
What do you feel like you've learned about your team at this juncture, Mike?
Well, last year, you know, what we really were best at was when we got Georgie Dancer and Ethan Menzies in a ball screen. And this year, without Ethan, you know, we have to play a little differently. And we started to figure out how to do that. If people watch the games this weekend, the ball move more, our players move more, and we just have a lot of really good players that are multidimensional. and we just need to get them in space with opportunities to create advantages for us. And, you know, we were able to do that this weekend, and I do think that's probably an adjustment we made last week in our offense, which is going to help us long term.
Mike DeGeorge, coach of the CMU men's basketball team, with us on the Team Sports Network. Blaze Threet, we saw great flashes from him last year when you won the RMAC regular season title, the tournament, and also got to regional play. Off to a strong start, averaging just under 17 points per game, and he's also your leading rebounder as well right now, at, or one of your leading rebounders, I should say, at 5.3 boards per game. Blaze is, like so we've talked about him a little bit already this season, off to an outstanding start.
Yeah, and, you know, last year when the situations were right and he really understood what he needed to do in that moment, you would see those flashes you were talking about of brilliance. So we've all seen it coming. He's worked really hard, obviously, to get in shape and kind of get his game to the next level. And then early in the year, you know, some of the things were confusing in the games that he didn't have. Kind of that breakout game that first weekend. But what we've seen in these last three games is he's really kind of found his rhythm no matter what teams do against him, and he just continues to grow in confidence, and he's had three huge games in a row for us.
Trevor Baskin had the really good game against Southwest New Mexico, 18 points, 13 rebounds, a double-double. He's your third leading scorer right now, and I know that he had made the comment to us when we were talking with him that he's really worked on his shooting, working on improving his offensive game, and also you know, trying to get a little bit bigger, stronger, you know, to be more effective in the low post as well. I'm sure you're seeing some of those things, some of that hard work that he's put in this offseason starting to pay off here in the regular season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you wouldn't know it when you look at him, because when you stretch 20 pounds of muscle over his frame, it doesn't really make much of a difference, unfortunately. But he actually has gotten a lot stronger. He's worked really hard in the weight room. And now that he has a little bit of a foundation, the hope is that it'll be easier to continue to add strength. But as he does that, obviously, he just gets to be a dominant player in our league. And so, you know, right now, Trevor's finding that balance of, like, trying to make what he wants happen rather than taking what the defense gives him. When he just settles down a little bit and takes what the defense gives him, he's got a complete skill set. He's worked really hard at his shooting, as you mentioned. And really, he just has to just be willing to read the defense and just settle in. And I think we saw that this weekend where he started to do that.
Mike DeGeorge, the coach of the CMU men's basketball team, with us on the Team Sports Network, the Holiday Inn Airport Thanksgiving Classic this weekend, Friday and Saturday over at Brownson Arena. You open up with Our Lady of the Lake University. They're out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And so far for Lady of the Lake this season, they have put together a, I believe it's a 4-3 start on the season for them. What have you heard about, or what's some of the scouting reports? What have you heard about Our Lady of the Lake?
Yeah, talk about a COVID roster. They have 8 returning seniors, and then they have 5 transfer seniors, 4 of which are transferring in from Division I schools. So they'll have 13 seniors on their roster. So it's what you call a veteran team. So, you know, they're athletic, and they had a bad weekend last week. They went up to Montana and didn't play very well. So they'll be ready to go, but they were 4-0 leading into that. And, you know, they're an NAI Division I program, and they have very high expectations for the year. And as you know, the high level NAI teams are very talented and very capable, and so you know, that'll be a big challenge on Friday night for us. A
couple of good scores: Joseph Anderson averaging 15 points per game, Mike, and Ellis Jones at about a little under 14 points per game. Just basically their strong suits: perimeter play, inside play. What have you seen on film?
Yeah, they're athletic, guard oriented, and you know, if they can get out in transition, in a lot of ways they're a lot like the University of Southwest we played on Saturday. I think they're a little stronger team, but similar. If they can get out in transition, use their athleticism, and then get to the glass if they miss shots, they're pretty effective. And you know, University of Southwest was able to do that against Western and beat Western the night before we played them, and we were able to take those things away and then be able to separate. So it'll be a similar challenge in terms of us, you know, kind of playing, getting our defense set so that we can stay in position and limit them to one shot and not give them easy baskets where they start feeling good about seeing shots go in.
And then on Saturday, you'll have Simon Frazier out of British Columbia, a GNAC program. And for them, Julian Roche has had a good start to the season, averaging just under 15 points per game. They're currently 3-2. They played a couple of other Canadian universities this past weekend. What's the scouting report on Simon Frazier?
Yeah, it's kind of a cool thing. The only NCAA school from Canada, you know, a good D2 program. It's a great school. And so, you know, I'm excited to have them there. I got to know their coach a couple years ago. We worked an event together, and he's a great guy. So looking forward to having them here, and it'll be a big challenge. They have a seven-footer who started out at Santa Clara. They have a returning, you know, all-conference 6'6 kid. They have a couple other Division I transfers, so they're huge up front. And then have quickness in the backcourt. They've been a little inconsistent offensively to this stage. So, you know, you don't know quite what you're going to get from them offensively. But it'll be a big challenge dealing with their size. And our message to the team has been that they are of the same model that Minnesota Moorhead was. And their physicality and size kind of beat us up inside and controlled the glass. And we weren't able to take advantage of our quickness advantage at the other end and get those bigs out of the game. So that's going to be a big challenge for us because we are undersized and skilled and athletic to force those bigs to guard us in space at the other end. And, you know, we're kind of 50-50 on those matchups so far in terms of being able to, you know, force bigs out of the game. We were able to do it against Damon, against their All-American center, get him out. But we haven't been able to do it consistently. So that'll be the big challenge on Saturday night.
All right, so 7 o'clock both nights, Our Lady of the Lakes on Friday, and then Simon Fraser on Saturday. And you can hear both the Maverick men and women on the team CMU Sports Network this weekend for the Holiday Inn Airport Thanksgiving Classic. Mike, I appreciate the time, and have a happy Thanksgiving for you and your family, and we'll see you out at Brownson this weekend.
All right, thanks, Jim.
All right, take care. Mike DeGeorge, the coach of the CMU men's basketball team. All right, 9:48. Tomorrow will be our Friday, so tomorrow we'll have Brian Roth, voice of the CSU Rams, talk about the basketball team's 6-0 start, winning the Paradise Jam of the Virgin Islands. So he'll join us on tomorrow's program. Cody Rourke, Locked On Broncos podcast, he'll also be on tomorrow's program as well. Connor McGahee. The Avalanche take on Anaheim tomorrow night here on the team, and we hope to have perhaps Katie Wingy from Altitude tomorrow to help us look back at the Nuggets taking on Portland tonight. And you can hear that game tonight with Jason Kosmiski on the call, pregame at 7:30, tip-off at 8 o'clock, the Nuggets and Portland for that one tonight. And don't expect Nikola Jokic back just yet with the right wrist injury, but hopefully sooner rather than later for the league MVP to be back with the Nuggets. All right, text or call us, 970-242-1340. Jim, along with the Buckeye boy from the Bose Arth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Let's see. Going from Bry Guy. Good morning, Bry Guy. We don't throw the football around on Thanksgiving anymore after my cousin went all Bradley Cooper Wedding Crashers on my brother when we spent the evening in the ER. Sounds logical, Bry Guy. You guys learned your lesson.
Yep.
When it gets to the point that you have to go to the ER, it's probably time to shut it down. Mike, the Lions should play the team with the worst record.
Yeah, so that's not a bad idea.
So maybe they would scrimmage themselves?
Yeah, that'd be funny.
See, one from Roll Tacos on listening online. But I believe the mobile app, or maybe he streams it from the website over in the Front Range. Robert is one hell of a Lions fan. I disagree with him on the Thanksgiving game, but I have to respect him for backing his team. See, Robert, getting support from Roll Tacos over in the Front Range. All right, let's wrap it up with some garbage time this morning.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Oh, I love trash.
All right. Do you have something you want to lead off with? Okay, very good.
It was Manning Cast last night, and they had Kevin Hart, which a little goes a long way with Kevin Hart.
I need to interject one thing.
Okay.
I know you're not a fan of Jimmy Kimmel, but I do love the Jimmy Kimmel, Norman Lear thing where they bring back the old 70s TV shows like The Jeffersons.
Okay.
All in the Family. If you've ever seen that, where they have the live episode of one of those great TV shows from the 70s. Then you've had like Jamie Foxx playing George Jefferson. Kevin Hart is going to play the Arnold character, Gary Coleman, in Different Strokes. Damon Wayans is going to play Willis. John Lithgow is going to be Mr. Drummond.
Okay.
So
well, that's coming up.
There's my Kevin Hart tie-in this morning.
He was on both kickoff shows, ESPN and NFL Network, on Sunday, and then he was on Manning Cast last night. And when it was over, it came as a surprise to Kevin Hart.
Caught him right there, Eli.
Too many warnings.
Are you allowed to
Kevin,
do it?
Thank you enough. Thanks for being with us, pal. You're the best.
Wait, what? Huh?
You're out. See ya.
You're out. See ya.
You're out. Fade, like, get out of here.
And then it was Eli with the hammer on Peyton at the very end.
All right, Peyton. See you in a few weeks. Bills, Patriots, happy Thanksgiving to you, bro. Happy Thanksgiving. Sorry I'm not to see you devour a turkey.
It's pretty good.
Peyton, he's a weird eater. He can crush a lot of food in a short amount of
time.
Yes,
he can. We've seen that on Manning Cast already. All right, Dan Mullen, of course, fired on Sunday as Florida's football coach. And it looks like the odds are right now that Louisiana head coach Billy Napier, at least according to the odds makers, the front runner to be the next Gators coach.
Mm.
Your odds on this, by the way, Napier, Lane Kiffin, Mario Cristobal, the Oregon coach. Those are your top three in terms of the odds right now.
That's not good. Denver Broncos legend is soon going to be available to reclaim as Philip Lindsay is being cut by the Houston Texans.
And for those of you that love Philip Lindsay,
mm-hmm.
if he couldn't get time on the field with the Houston Texans, then do you really expect him to get a lot of time on the field with the Broncos?
All that's wrong with the Broncos is the fact they don't start Drew Lock and they got rid of Philip Lindsay. If you just go into certain corners of Broncos country.
Would you take him over Javonte Williams?
No.
Melvin Gordon. Even with Melvin Gordon's problems?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Apparently they wouldn't take Philip Lindsay over the roster they had at the end of last year pre-Javonte Williams. So, not saying, I'm just saying.
Just saying. That the release by the Houston Texans of Philip Lindsay kind of backs up what the Broncos did.
Be gone.
All right, let's see what else we have this morning. Let's see. There's apparently a Fire Nagy chant at Matt Nagy's son's high school football game. Mm-hmm. Of course, Matt Nagy, the coach of the Chicago Bears, that apparently he was at his kid's football game where there were fans there chanting that he should be fired. That his son plays for Lake Forest. And it was the Cary Grove student section, the opposing team, that started doing the chanting. He can't even get away and go watch his son play high school football without people wanting him to be fired.
Yep.
Do you have anything else?
I am all tapped out.
You're all, that's it?
Yep.
All tapped out. Okay. I'm seeing if I have anything else here to kind of wrap it up with. Oh, apparently Kevin Durant got a little profane after being mocked on Twitter that, let's see, that Durant, of course, has a reputation of firing back at Twitter trolls.
Of course.
And that apparently somebody took a shot at his skincare routine. Durant got the meme treatment after a photo went viral that showed his skin looking quite dry. Right there above his sock. And so they posted a variety of memes, basically some trees that look like legs. And Kevin Durant did not appreciate people giving him grief about his dry skin. Very sensitive about that, just like his skin. Very thin skinned,